I'll talk about how we can use sensor hints to design better network protocols and improve performance. It's joint work with Calvin, Hari, and Sam at MIT. Over the past decade, there has been big changes in the way we access data. We moved from desktops to laptops. In the last 2-3 years, there has been a phenomenal increase in the usage of smartphones and tablets. In fact, nearly 300 million smartphones were sold worldwide in 2010. It represents 31% of the US phone market today, and it's expected to be the majority at the end of this year. And smartphones and tablets are already exceeding PC sales. So there's absolutely no doubt that these devices will be the dominant mode of data access in the future. But one important point to note here is that these are truly mobile devices, unlike laptops. People are often mobile while accessing data with these devices. In fact, people often switch between being static and being mobile. And they exhibit a variety of mobility modes and move through different environments. People walk, people jog, they even drive when they are accessing internet through these devices. So this poses a challenge to wireless networks because there's a significant demand on protocols to adapt to these different settings and different mobility modes. Because mobility mode matters and it impacts the performance of a wireless protocol. Unfortunately, today most protocols are optimized for the static setting. And they, as I'm going to show you in a little bit, they perform poorly when a node starts moving. And even those protocols that compensate for mobility are really not optimal in the static settings. I'm sure many of the smartphone users would have noted that whenever you start moving, your network starts performing poorly. So the fundamental reason for this is because protocols that work well in static settings look quite different from protocols that work well in mobile settings. This is true at all layers of the networking stack. For example, from a Mac or a physical layer perspective, suppose I have an access point and a client, and the client is static. Now the channel is relatively stable between them. So protocols can now average estimates and ignore short-term variations. Suppose this client starts moving. Now the channel is constantly changing, so your assessments are quickly getting outdated. So protocols should not maintain very long histories. Even from a network layer perspective, suppose you have nodes that are static. The topology is hardly changing, so you can probe for links much less frequently and compute routes over much longer timescales. But if you imagine that some of these nodes are moving, the topology is changing much faster. So you need to probe for links more often and compute routes over much shorter timescales. Current wireless protocols do not differentiate between these mobility modes. They instead try to attempt to implicitly adapt using SNR, BER, packet loss, etc. And I'll show you in a little bit that this leads to poor performance. One of the reasons is the lack of explicit knowledge about the prevalent mobility mode. And getting the mobility mode just using in-band information is a very hard problem. So the question we ask here is that, can we do better? And the answer is yes. We have got a very promising opportunity here. These smartphones have many, many sensors that can give us hints about the mobility mode of the device. They have accelerometer, compass, gyroscope, GPS, and a bunch of other sensors too. These are primarily used by applications today to provide better user interfaces for gaming, social networking, navigation, many, many applications. Though they have found their use in applications, they are completely ignored by protocols today. For instance, my wireless protocol stack in my phone is completely oblivious to the fact that these sensors exist. So this brings us to the key insight of our work. And I'm going to focus only on the mobility sensors here, GPS, compass, accelerometer, and gyroscope. As I said, these sensors and the protocol stack is completely isolated today. And we argue that if these sensors can give information to the protocol stack, it opens up a whole new opportunity. You can think about now many innovative protocols that can improve the performance. We call the sensor information in our work as hints. So a sensor can give hints about movement, whether a device is moving or not. It can give hints about direction, the heading, and it can give hints about speed and multiple other things. Now a protocol can use these hints to adapt differently to different mobility mode. In addition to using just local hints, you can also assume a scenario where a client will send a hint to an access point, and the access point will adapt based on that. So we have something called a hints protocol to communicate hints between nodes. And now a neighbor can adapt to other nodes hints. In today's talk, I'm especially going to talk about three protocols. I'm going to tell you how a movement hint from accelerometer can be used to perform better rate adaptation. Then I'll talk about how you can use a walking hint and a heading hint to do better access point association. Finally, if I have time, I'll quickly brief through how we can use speed and heading hint to do better vehicular routing. In the paper, we also show how you can use a movement hint to do better topology maintenance. As I said, this opens up a whole new opportunity. In fact, you can think of many protocols all through the networking stack. We are working on quite a few of them recently. But in the talk, I'll focus on only these three. Before I delve into the details of the protocol, I'll talk a little bit about how we extract these hints. I'll first talk about how we can get a movement hint from an accelerometer. So movement hint is a binary hint. It'll tell you whether a node is static or it's moving. So accelerometer on these devices give you force or acceleration along three axes. And here is a sample trace of an accelerometer. I'm not sure if it's clear in the back, but it's pretty clear to see that where the node moved from this graph. Whenever you're static, the variation in the reported values is much less than when a node starts moving. So we try to capture this variation into a metric. And using this metric, we try to capture the Boolean hint, which is the movement hint. In fact, we are reliably able to detect the movement hint within 10 to 100 milliseconds, depending on the sampling rate supported by the accelerometer on the device. Sometimes you just not want a movement hint. You want to actually know whether a user is walking or not, instead of just waving the phone in his hand. So we use a walking hint. We again use a accelerometer for it. I'm not going to go into the technique here. I'll refer you to a paper called Transit Genie in last year's census, which describes this approach in detail. Next is the heading hint. It's pretty trivial to get a heading hint outdoors when you have GPS. The GPS will tell you heading. But indoors, it's a very tricky problem. Though these devices have compass, they are extremely sort of noisy. And you can't just read the values out of the compass because you need to correct for the device's orientation. In the paper, we assumed we knew the orientation of the device and took the compass values. But we have been working on a technique with Arvind by using compass, gyro, and accelerometer to automatically correct for the orientation. Similarly, speed. Outdoors, it's very easy to get speed. Indoors, it's still a very hard problem, just using the accelerometer to get speed. Now I'll talk about the protocols. First, I'll talk about our hint-aware rate adaptation protocol. So what is rate adaptation in wireless networks? So in these networks, packets are encoded at a particular bit rate, every packet. You have a bunch of bit rates. The trade-off here is that lower bit rates give you low throughput, but are more robust. Lower bit rates give you less throughput. Higher bit rates give you more throughput, but are very less robust. So the problem of rate adaptation is to find the best rate to transmit a packet at any point in time. So the first thing we looked at was how the current rate adaptation protocols perform in different mobility modes. We especially took only static, the node being static and the user starts walking. So we collected several traces, static and walking traces. In these traces, the sender was sending packets to a receiver, and he was actually cycling through all the bit rates so that at every time slot, we knew what the best bit rate was. We collected such traces in three different environments. We collected up to 60 traces. And since we know the best bit rate that went through in each slot, you can now do a trace-driven simulation of all the protocols, and you can measure the TCP throughput. Since we know the best bit rate, we also computed the optimal throughput, that is the best post-process throughput. We compared two frame-based rate adaptation algorithms, sample rate and RRA, and two SNR-based algorithms, RBAR and CHOM. As you can see in the static case, these protocols perform really well, actually. So, for example, sample rate can achieve like 85 to 99% of the optimal throughput, while RRA can get 90% of the optimal throughput on an average. But when a node starts moving, these protocols have no clue. So sample rate and RRA can't even achieve, like, on an average, 50% of the optimal throughput. The SNR-based adaptations are not that great either. They perform poorly in, actually, both the cases. In the moving case, they perform more poorly, actually. So ours is not the first work to note this. This has been noted in previous work as well, and previous work has concluded that mobility mode really matters for these protocols. But we wanted to look at why this is the case. So we did several experiments. So in this experiment, we plot the conditional loss probability of the packets. In this experiment, we sent out back-to-back 54 Mbps packet. And this graph plots the probability that packet I is lost given packet I minus K is lost. The x-axis here shows the lag k, and the y-axis shows the conditional loss probability. The unconditional loss probability for both the cases here was the same. It was 23%. But as you can see in the mobile case, the probability that I lose the next few packets given a previous packet was lost is pretty high compared to the static case. This basically says that losses are more bursty when a node is mobile than when a node is static. This has been noted in previous work as well. And this correlation of losses dies off after some time. So to find that time, we plotted mutual information between packet success loss events. So you take a packet success loss event as a random variable, and you plot the mutual information between two random variables separated by some time. So that time is here in the x-axis, and the y-axis shows the mutual information. As you can see, in the static case, there's absolutely no mutual information. Losses are completely independent. While when a node starts moving, there is very high mutual information for nearby packets, and this time is actually somewhere around 10 milliseconds, and it dies off gradually after that. In fact, we tried to plot this for different speeds, different walking speeds. The main takeaway from this graph is all that matters is whether you were static or whether you were moving. So when you're static, there is no mutual information. When you start moving, you actually start having correlation of losses, and it dies off at around 10 to 20 milliseconds for different indoor speeds. So that's why we didn't consider speed into account. We just considered whether a node was static or was moving. So based on these empirical observations, we came up with a frame-based rate adaptation protocol called Rapid Sample that works reasonably well when a node starts moving. The intuition behind Rapid Sample is three things. First, after a single loss, reduce the bitrate, because the probability that you will lose the next few packets is pretty high given the previous packet was lost. Suppose I have these bitrates. I'm at 36 Mbps. The packet is lost. I'll move to 24 Mbps. The second intuition is maintain very short history. And in the short history, your losses are correlated. So don't try to retry the bitrate that was lost in this window or any other higher rate. Since my 36 Mbps was lost, I'll mark it, and I'll never retry this rate or the higher rates for the next 10 milliseconds. And finally, the intuition is when you're moving, if the channel is not degrading, it's probably improving. There's very less probability that it's going to be static. So after a few successes, try to sample a higher rate that has not failed. And if you're incorrect about that choice, you'll come back to the original rate. Suppose I'm at 9 Mbps, I'll try to sample 24 Mbps, the rate that has not failed in the last 10 milliseconds. If I'm wrong about it, I'll mark it and come back to 9 Mbps. So we evaluated this rapid sample. As I said, rapid sample is the pure heuristic, but we found it to perform really well when a node starts moving. So we used the same trace-based simulation on some of those same traces, and we evaluated it in three different environments: a office setting where there was no line of sight between the sender and receiver, a hallway setting where there was line of sight, and in an outdoor setting where you have longer multipaths. And we tried to measure the TCP throughput. So the graph here shows you the throughput of a protocol as a fraction of rapid sample's throughput. As you can see, the red bar here is rapid sample, which is always one. You can see that rapid sample consistently outperforms all the schemes in all the environments when a node starts moving. It obtains significantly higher throughput than sample rate and about 16 to 75% than other protocols. Though rapid sample is really good when a node is mobile, it performs very badly when a node is static. For instance, it consistently performs like very badly in the sense it obtains 28% lower throughput than other schemes. The primary reason for this is because rapid sample is a very aggressive protocol. It will try to reduce the rate when there is a single loss, and it will try to sample a higher rate even when a channel is static. So this brings us to the key insight of our work, and that which is now you can use a movement hint to differentiate your mobility mode, and you can use rapid sample when a node is moving and sample rate when a node is static. I showed you that sample rate is really good when a node is static. It can obtain up to 99% of the optimal throughput. So to go evaluate this hint-aware protocol, we implemented it. We implemented it on today's phones. Since we are using just frame-based technique, it's possible to implement on today's phones. We used Android phones as clients, and we used Linux-based laptops as access points in which our protocols were implemented in Qlik. So all that the phone does is it will send a movement hint back by looking at its accelerometer. On the access point side, we implemented sample rate, RRA, rapid sample, and the hint-aware protocol that switches between the two. What the access point does is, for the evaluation, we sent out 1,000-byte packets. We mark the MAC address of the phone as the destination address. These phones are dumb. Even if you're not running any application, it'll reply back with the MAC layer ACK if it sees its address on these packets. And it'll just reply back with an ACK. So we can just use this ACK to do all our frame-based techniques and evaluate the throughput on the sender side itself. So we evaluated this in two environments. In each environment, we were doing 10 distinct movement patterns. I'll go static sometime, I'll go mobile sometimes. The same pattern, actually, but it's 10. So each pattern is 45 to 90 seconds long. Since it's very hard to replicate these movement patterns, we did 3 back-to-back trials for all these 4 protocols. So there is 12 trials for each experiment, and there is 10 patterns. So we walked for approximately 2 hours. So as I said, we did it only in 2 environments. We did it in the same office environment as our trace-based simulation in the same hallway environment. We skipped the outdoor environment because at the time we were doing these experiments for camera ready, Boston was just freaking cold. So there is no way we could reliably replicate the movement patterns outside. So here is the results of the hint-aware rate adaptation technique for the movement patterns we did. The black line here shows the hint-aware adaptation. As you can see, this is the raw throughput. The x-axis shows you for the 2 different environments, each experiment, the 10 experiments. As you can see, in all the throughput ranges, hint-aware protocol was obtaining like more throughput than the other protocols. On an average, it obtained like 20% more than sample rate and 22 to 37% more than RREA. But you can here sort of see that we tried to make sure that the movement time and the static time was approximately equal. But you can assume that if you can change those time patterns, you'll get different results here. So what we did was we logged these movement hints back at the sender, and we tried to post-process these logs to figure out what was happening when a node was moving and what was happening when a node was static. So here when a node was moving, we were doing rapid sample. So that's essentially hint-aware. You can see that rapid sample gets like much higher throughput. The pink line gets much higher throughput than the other 2 protocols. So it obtained 61% and 40% more than sample rate, and 16 to 39% more than RREA. But in the static cases, you can see that the hint-aware was doing sample rate, and sample rate was in fact the better protocol than rapid sample and RREA. So before I conclude the section on rate adaptation, I'm sure people have these questions in mind, which is, aren't 5-layer techniques like soft rate better? Soft rate is a protocol from our group that was published in SICOM 2009, which uses physical layer information to adapt at much finer time scales. And the answer is probably yes, but it requires physical layer changes, and it cannot be implemented on today's hardware. For instance, our protocol uses only frame layer techniques, and we have implemented it on today's Android phones. And we have access points in MIT, which provides more throughput to my phone than the other phones which are out there. In fact, we actually evaluated rapid sample and the hint-aware protocol against the traces in the soft rate paper, and we found comparable throughput. So it's really great that we can achieve the similar throughput without modification to the hardware. The another question some might ask is, isn't continuous adaptation a better design, which is we switch from a static optimized protocol to a mobility optimized protocol? But maybe the right way to do is to adapt based on speed. So you do a much more continuous fine-grained adaptation. But as I showed you on the mutual information graph, static versus mobile matters more than different speeds, at least in the indoor case. Maybe you can do a different protocol when people are driving. Also, we figured out that it's very hard to measure speed indoors, so we stuck to the static versus mobile rate adaptation. The last question is, instead of using movement hints from accelerometer, can you just use RSSI variation and infer mobility out of it? We actually implemented it and found several problems with it. One is there is large variations of RSSI even when a node was static. And it was completely dependent on the environment and the device type you were using and the time of day and the RSSI ranges as well. For example, lower ranges showed much higher variation than higher ranges. So you need some sort of training to make this work. And we found that it is very sensitive to movement in environment as well, not just the node actually moves. But you can sort of think about a hybrid approach which uses both RSSI and movement hint to do something else. So I talked about rate adaptation. I'll quickly brief through how you can do access point association using heading and walking hints. So what is the problem of access point association? In campus and corporate networks, you have multiple access points. So you want to pick the best access point to associate to. In the access point association, you have two distinct problems. One is to maximize throughput for applications like file download. The other one is to minimize handoffs. This is especially for VoIP applications, where you want to minimize the number of disruptions, that is the number of scans. So we have hint-aware techniques to solve both this problem. So how does the standard scheme of rate adaptation work in today's phones? You want to associate, you scan, you associate to the access point that has the strongest signal strength. Now I start moving, my signal strength starts dropping. Now I scan again and associate to the guy stronger there. The client also does some infrequent scans in the order of minutes if the RSA threshold has not dropped. But there is a real problem with this approach, which is if I start here and end up here, where my signal strength hasn't dropped, the client won't scan for the next order of minutes, and you're stuck to the old access point, which is not the optimal access point here. So you're getting reduced throughput. This happens in today's phones if you look at it very carefully. iPhones and Androids does it like very badly. So we try to use a hint-aware scheme to solve this problem, which is we use the walking-aware association. The intuition is very simple here, which is when your static stops scanning, because the probability that you'll find new access point is very less. When you start walking, scan periodically, because you're going to discover new access points. When you go from walking to static, scan once and associate to the top guy. So this will solve the problem I just showed you. We have this implemented on Android phones today. And we also have a heading-aware association to minimize the number of handoffs. Suppose I know that the client is traveling in this direction, I'll probably associate to the middle access point here, because I'll probably stay with them more longer if I'm going in this direction. You can find more details in the paper, which is we used a training-based approach. We had a background Android application that actually built a model out of the access point scene and the heading hint. And when you query the model with the current access point when you want to hand off and the heading hint, it'll give you the next best AP. As I said, we have an Android implementation. My phone runs it right now, and it can associate much better than a lot of phones out there. So to evaluate, we actually collected 30 traces, static and mobile, and we calculated the throughput and the handoffs. This graph shows you the ratio of our scheme to the standard scheme. As you can see, on a median, we improve the throughput by 30%. And this graph shows you the number of handoffs, the ratio of the number of handoffs to our scheme to the standard scheme. And on a median, we were reducing the number of handoffs by 40%. Okay, finally, I think I have time. So I'll quickly go through how we can use speed and heading hint to do better vehicular rate adaptation. We have been working with Ford on deploying a vehicular mesh network in Boston. In these highly dynamic networks, we found that the longer the connection, it is better, because it avoids expensive repairs. So we came up with what we call a connection time estimate, which actually tries to accurately predict what the connection time is using speed and heading hints. The intuition behind this is two. One is links between nodes heading in the same direction tends to last longer. For example, the link in the right tends to last longer than the link in the left. And the second intuition is speed is sort of inversely correlated to your connection duration. So the more the speed, you'll probably be connected for a lesser time. So we have a full-blown CTE metric. You can read the paper. We did an empirical evaluation on taxi traces with 15 networks, and we simulated 100 vehicles. And we found that links with larger CTE lasted 4 to 5 times longer than the median duration of all the links. As I said, this model opens up a whole new opportunity, a whole new area of new protocols. And we have been working on quite a few of them. In fact, to systematically include these hints and implement this protocol, we have what we call the hint-aware protocol architecture. We have like abstracted out the sensors into a sensor library, which will give you hints, various hints. And we have what we call the hint transport layer that will allow you to communicate hints with other nodes. We have technique both using raw frames and UDP for like the standard phones today. And we have encapsulated this into a hint service. The protocol can now just query this hint service to get hints and give instruction to send and receive hints from other nodes. And we have the implementation both for Android and for Linux as a click module. This model does come with some limitations, which is the first one is, of course, energy. Accelerometer and compass is cheap, as you saw in the last talk, but GPS is not. You can play several tricks to solve this problem. One is to dynamically adapt the sampling grade. The other trick you can play is to do trigger sensing, That is, if my accelerometer says that I'm not moving, probably I'll switch off my GPS, and I'll switch it on only when the accelerometer says I'm moving. You can also do some low-cost sensing based on extensive training-based approaches like what Arvind presented. The second limitation is calibration across device types. This is sort of the problem which is being faced by game developers today. For instance, we were able to seamlessly integrate the movement hint across device types, but for walking hint, we needed training. Finally, the limit, privacy is sort of a limitation. I can, sitting in my office, I can figure out that you have left the office if I can sniff your movement hint. You can solve this problem by like encrypting the packets and sending the hints on it. There are related work, but most related work are on wireless power saving, where you use a low-cost sensor to wake up Wi-Fi. The other related work is in the space of outdoors for access point association, and there are some extensive training-based approaches for rate adaptation. So I want to leave you with a takeaway message here, which is that truly mobile devices will soon be dominant, and variety of mobility modes poses problems for wireless protocols. So sensors on these devices give us a new opportunity to develop network protocols, and the protocol architecture that uses sensor hints can significantly improve MAC, link, and network layers. Thank you.
This is Jason Lee from IIR. Thanks for the great work. Both this one and the last one was really cool. So I have a very small question and a bigger question. The small question is, when do you think this RSSI variation might be good? We all know it's bad, right, in general.
Yeah. So you can use the RSSI variation in combination with the movement hint. Suppose the node is static and you're seeing a very high RSSI variation.
Yeah, I buy the point you're saying when you combine with the hints, you know, that it might help you. But just that, when do you think it might be good?
Where I think it might be good. You can adapt based on the RSSI variation, but at a very coarse scale.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The bigger question is, totally agree with you that this opens a great opportunities or a kind of worms, right? So what do you think is the limitation or danger when you embed this intelligence knowledge into protocol design? If you don't mind, I would add the last bullet here says warnings. 1, 2, 3. For example, you know, you gotta be very sure about the hints are correct.
Sure.
And you gotta be very sure, you know, the stability issues, you gotta be very sure the timing scale of different protocol layers, you know, even especially when they interact and so forth.
I think the
so
biggest.
What is your opinion with the danger?
The biggest limitation is energy, but whatever you're saying is true, which is today it's very hard to like tune your own wireless card if you're building one. And using the sensor hints with right. the wireless protocol is, of course, going to make your work much harder.
Sure.
But
I mean, beyond this, you know, it seems to me if you're not very careful,
you're not sure.
In most cases, you don't want to make your devices too smart. So.
Sure. That's true. Yeah.
Arun Venkatramani from UMass. So very interesting work. I really like the idea of using sensor hints for improving protocol performance. One question I had about your bitrate selection work was most of the SNR-based bitrate selection works talk about how they're better than the sample rate like algorithms, but your results seem to contradict them. Can you explain that?
I think I'm not contradicting. You can see it in the other. SNR-based, first of all, you need training to do SNR-based protocols. You can look at the other papers.
In fact, we did a training.
Yeah. We post-processed the output to do training and do SNR-based protocols. I don't think it is better than sample rate or RREA. We, at least in our experiments, found SNR to be very bad. And this is the same result that has been projected in the soft rate paper as well, which is, first of all, it's hard to train. Even when you train, SNR-based protocol doesn't work that great.
The other question I had was, you showed TCP throughput experiments.
Yeah.
What's the improvement in raw good put, unreliable good put?
The experimental results I showed you were raw UDP-like experiments. The simulations were TCP, but on the simulations on UDP, we were doing really great, actually. I can show you the results for it, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The last question I had was, have you done any experiments with vehicular mobility?
Yeah, there is an experiment in the paper which does vehicular mobility as well.
But how do the results compare to pedestrian mobility?
We didn't check that. Probably for vehicular mobility, rapid sample isn't a great protocol because your coherence times are much, much less than 10 milliseconds. You probably want to do something else there. But Rapid Sample was winning both sample rate, RRA, and the SNR-based protocols in the vehicular case. I think we have the graph in the paper, yeah.
Thank you.
So, congratulations, great work. So I had two questions. One is, have you tested the rate adaptation with what happens when there are multiple mobile clients? Because one of them may be mobile and the other is not, and the rate of the other mobile node might have to be adapted because there is another mobile node. And the second question is...
The first question is basically how one's movements affects the other person's rate adaptation algorithm.
Right.
It shouldn't, right, if the access point is scheduling packets.
Right. So you're saying the mobile hints are on a per...
it's a per node basis. Do rate adaptation on a per node basis.
And the second question is if you incorporate mapping information of, let's say, huge offices, and sort of how often do you think that the SNR of, let's say, if you know the map,
okay,
how often does the SNR in a particular location in the map vary, and can you take those sort of hints and sort of improve?
Sure, you can do extensive training based approaches. Sure, you can train whatever Arvind was doing, you can do the same thing. Yeah.
So we
didn't do that. Yeah, we wanted it to be training free because we wanted to implement it right away on all the phones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Time University of Wisconsin-Madison. I have two questions. One question. So it seems like your approach does not consider the mobility of the environment. I mean, like other people moving around the environment,
sure,
which will make changes,
sure,
also.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I would think a better way is to maybe directly pass some information from the physical layer, like channel quotient or pilot tone info, to the higher layer.
If you have physical layer information, you can do much, much better. In fact, in the paper, we also say you can improve physical layer techniques using hints. But one of the main aim with which we started the whole project was we wanted to implement it on commodity devices. And commodity devices give you this hint, so let's just do frame-based techniques. I accept with you. If you have physical layer information, you can do really better. You can know how well the channel is changing. You can do something like soft rate. Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Xiaozhen from UMass. This is very interesting work. I have a question about how did you measure your history time? So you say you first measure the packet loss pattern, and you get a channel coherence time about 10 milliseconds.
Yeah.
And for that 10 milliseconds, you said you send packet at 54 megabits per second.
We did it in 48 and other things as well. Yeah.
Okay. So did you also measure this for both indoor working and outdoor vehicular? Because intuitively, I think this channel coherence time will be shorter for outdoor, like
definitely, yeah,
vehicular mobility.
Yeah,
use the same 10 milliseconds for all your...
I showed that in the limitation, right, which is, I completely agree with you, which is outdoors, you might have to do some different protocol.
Yeah.
The results were for indoors, which showed 10 to 20 milliseconds. Yeah, but we found Rapid Sample to work fairly well than the other protocols. But I agree that there might be much better protocol which works.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Speakers are available.